So it is 3:01, and I will go ahead and take roll call. Representing Ward 1, Commissioner Rodriguez.
Present.
Representing Ward 3, Commissioner Hunter.
Present.
Representing Ward 4, Commissioner Andrews.
Present.
Representing Ward 5, Chairperson Clark. I do not expect Chairperson Clark to be joining us today. So representing Ward 6, Vice Chairperson, Commissioner Pollack.
Here.
And we do have quorum. So Vice Chair Pollack, if you want to get us started.
Okay. Second item on the agenda is, you know, let me just say as a preface to that, today is August 3rd, 2022. It's 3:02 p.m. now, and this is the regular scheduled meeting for the IAPC. Now we're on to agenda item number 2, approval of the July 6, 2022 IAPC meeting minutes. And has everybody had a chance to review the meeting minutes?
Yes, this is Commissioner Hunter. I move that we accept the minutes.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I would like to second that motion. This is Commissioner Andrews.
Okay. And is there any discussion on the meeting minutes from any of the commissioners? All right. I think we could take a simple vote. We don't have to do a roll call vote. I don't think. If we could have a simple vote on approving, all in favor say aye.
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 Are we missing one? Okay, maybe we do have to do a roll call. Okay, Leah, if you could help with the roll call approval.
So for approval of the minutes, Commissioner Rodriguez.
Maybe he's on mute.
Yes, please remember to unmute yourself.
Sorry. Yes.
Commissioner Hunter.
Yeah.
Commissioner Andrews.
Yes, to approve.
And Commissioner Pollack?
Aye.
And the motion has been approved.
Okay, excellent. So next we have just a brief overview of staff update. Business services staff will provide an update.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Vice Chair Pollack. So just a few things are going on. We have a lot going on. BSD continues to work on the implementation of the city's ERP system, which replaces our existing finance system and HR management system and so forth. So that continues on with the anticipation of going live on October 1st. In addition to that, we have started our annual comprehensive financial reporting preparation. So we are in the process of calling the ACFR, in the process of doing fund folders, preparing for our annual audit, getting all the fund papers together for that review that will ultimately culminate in the final ACFR report, which you reviewed last year, not too long ago. But the goal and intent is to have this done earlier this year so that it can have bearing on the discussion with the mayor and council related to budget, and the numbers will not be as stale. So that process is well underway with the goal of delivering sometime hopefully in November and getting that done. Beyond that, we have filed all of our required reports for the ARPA funding and are continuing to do that process. So it's been pretty busy, but we're on task and on time. So with that, I'll take any questions or any additional requests that you may have.
Okay.
Mr. Yates, Commissioner Andrews, is the annual comprehensive financial report going to be printed in hard copy this year, or is it electronic versions?
We print, they're a little bit expensive to print, so we don't print many. And they're available online, so typically they're available via the website, or we have the PDF. If you would like a printed copy, just let Leah know, and we'll get that to you.
Thank you very much.
All right. If there's no other questions, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. We appreciate the update. Now we're going to move on to item number 4, Code Enforcement Subcommittee Update. And that's me for a couple of minutes here. The Code Enforcement Subcommittee had a meeting, and right now I'm kind of short on details. Sorry about that. I'm not able to look at all my computer files. We had a meeting. Leah, can you tell me what date that was on real quick?
I'd have to look that up.
Yeah, I know. It's horrible. I don't have any of my files, so I'm kind of operating at a deficit.
Chair, I believe that was July 22nd that we held our meeting.
Yes, okay. That's what it was.
Okay, thank you. So last meeting was held. There were two commissioners there, at which was a quorum, and we discussed a little bit more the content of the report and making additions to the report and changes, you know, for accuracy and clarity. And so the city clerk approved Leah being able to put the report into Google Docs so we could more easily edit the report by multiple people. And so I personally have not had time to look at that online to see if it got modified by any other commissioners. Can I ask you, Commissioner Andrews, if you've made any changes to that document, just as a FYI?
I added some verbiage and made a few changes, but I did that in a Word document, and then I'll transfer that to Google Docs as I progress through the document.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I haven't made any changes yet myself. So we're still in the process of modifying the change. And at the last subcommittee meeting, we did realize that maybe we need, since this is stretched out into such a long process or long audit, that maybe we needed to get an update from the code enforcement management as to the current status of code enforcement and the number of personnel and if there's been any changes to the process in general. So we had, I think, agreed that the next meeting would include a code enforcement management representative so we could get that briefing, you know, maybe a 10 or 15 minute briefing on changes and if anything has been changed to the process. And then I think by then we'll probably have a pretty good draft of the report. We haven't scheduled the next meeting yet. So that'll be the next thing we'll need to do is schedule another meeting, and then that will drive the changes to the report. So hopefully by the next regular meeting of the IAPC in September, we will have a final draft, at least for review. And I'm not sure, you know, I don't know, maybe Commissioner Hunter, you could tell me did these reports that the subcommittees write, do they get reviewed by the commission at all prior to us issuing them, or is that typical? Or do we just issue them and then, okay, yeah, they're available for the commission to review?
I can tell you what I remember from the last one. I do believe the full commission was given a chance to read it and ask questions.
Okay.
I don't really think they had any changes to it, but I do think we'll want to give a month for them to look at it and ask questions.
Perfect. So,
Commissioner Pollack, members of the committee, I have heard from clerk's office that the standard procedure is that the full IAPC, once you are done with the final report, the subcommittee presents it to the full commission. The full commission does vote to approve the full and final report.
Okay. Okay, great. Thanks for that clarification. Because this is the first audit I've been involved in, so I didn't know the process. Okay. So we're going to target having the final draft available in September. That's based on contingent on being able to meet with the code enforcement remotely one more time and then making the changes. But I think that would be a reasonable deadline. So does anybody have any questions about where we're at with the code enforcement audit or progress on that? Okay, I'll take that as a no. All right, then we'll move on to agenda item number 5, discussion on presentations from the police department. Now, I believe, did we have some specific questions, Leah, that were posed by commissioners?
My understanding is that the commissioners requested time to discuss amongst themselves the various information they received from the presentations that the police department presented. And that's what was asked to be scheduled as an agenda item, is just time for internal discussion.
And I think part of that could have been because Commissioner Rodriguez did have a lot of questions or concerns, and I think he was not present at the last meeting. And if we could just go around with the commissioners and see what additional questions or concerns there were, discussion about what had been said, that would be great. So if anybody wants to start that out, feel free to do that.
Well, sure. Commissioner Pollack, this is Commissioner Andrews, and I had an interest. I felt like we on the commission had not really completed the process. We identified that perhaps there was a need to audit the police department because the police department was probably dramatically understaffed, and that was maybe affecting calls. So in March 2nd at our meeting, we had Lieutenant Michael Allen gave us a presentation and talked about the department being short 128 officers. That's affected how they respond to calls. They assigned, I had notes saying they had 9 levels of call priority. Level 1 was immediate response, and 2 would be they'd get there soon, rapid response needed, and they downgraded things to where the police department wasn't responding to calls from the citizenry, and so laws weren't, infractions weren't being responded to or perhaps enforced at all. Subsequently, we had another presentation at our April meeting, and Lieutenant Jen Howell talked about how they recruit and hire and do different things to staff the department. But it seemed to me that we owed the process the, I guess, respect of deciding whether there was anything for the commission to look at and audit, or, you know, thank staff for having made the presentation and move on. It is something that's affecting our community for certain, and but I'm not sure too if it's one of those things that might be bigger than what this commission is able to undertake. So those were my thoughts and concerns, and I did want to hear what each of the other commissioners had in terms of their takeaways from the presentations, and if they felt like there was a need to look further, get further information, or decide, you know, the status of looking at the police department currently.
Yeah, those are all great, great points and good concerns.
This is Commissioner Rodriguez. I appreciated the presentations. I think my concerns were the fact that understaffed, and it was my understanding that out of asking questions that, first of all, you don't have to be a citizen of this, I mean, a resident of the Tucson to be on the police force, which was a concern of mine. The other is that it just seems that the process of policemen, it was like a revolving door. My understanding is that Tucson Police Department basically trains quite a few recruits, and somehow the retention rate wasn't, I don't know what the percentage is, but somehow we're losing our policemen to the surrounding communities. And I have a concern about that. I know people have a choice to stay or not, but if you're investing all that time and money and assets to cadets, people interested, men and women, I would hope that they stick around. We're not a training source for Oro Valley or Sahuarita or Vail, or that's not our intention. Our intention is to have a good staffed policemen, policewomen that stay on the job. They don't transfer. So that was a concern of mine, because that's a lot of money, time and resources that we're losing. And so I just thought that we'd bring that up for discussion.
Yeah, this is Commissioner Pollack. I have to agree with that, actually, with both of the commissioners. I remember the mayor, I think I saw it on television in an interview, saying that we're spending something like $100,000 over probably a two-year period on every new recruit. And I remember the interview with the person from HR who was talking about the hiring process, that they accept people into the academy, but they require no years of service that are guaranteed to the city of Tucson before they quit and go off to another municipality or another type of law enforcement. And so I was very interested in that too, because we're spending a lot of money. And same thing. And I know just from living in Tucson and being in Tucson with and all my neighbors, there is more, people are discouraged because they're victimized and then no one can respond. And the response is file an online police report for almost everything, unless there's been loss of life or somebody's been hurt. And people are very, they have a very bad opinion of our city and our police department for that aspect. They don't think the police are bad necessarily. It's just the response rate and the way it's categorized, and that nothing that's a lower level to, you know, categorized as a lower level is going to be responded to, but it doesn't make the citizen feel very well protected. And they, at the time, might think, yes, if my car got stolen, that is a huge issue. And that is a number one priority. And so the citizens aren't understanding why they're never getting a police officer to their house anymore or their crime. So, yeah, I wonder if we could, this is just my own thought, but I wonder if we could zero in on what we might want to look at and do an audit on that. That's the hard part, is trying to zero in on it. But those are just my thoughts on that. And are there any other comments on this topic?
Well, I agree with what you've just stated about actually getting a focus of what we would look at. That's the difficult part of this. A huge question for me is, how is it that the department, if they're a sanctioned law enforcement agency with sanctioned officers, how is it that they can choose not to enforce certain laws, statutes, ordinances? And I understand being short-staffed is a problem, but maybe that's part of the issue, is the city's hiring practices and inability to retain recruits, maybe not having a term of service. When you go in the military, if the military trains you, you're on for 4 years or something, some term. Maybe those things need to be looked at, but those are just ideas.
Hi, this is Commissioner Hunter. I guess I'll just weigh in. I think the struggle here is, how do we even determine kind of what to look at? There are a lot of issues going on, and I would assume, you know, that the police department has looked at the ideas of requiring terms of service, but that probably makes them less competitive to another police department, and they're already struggling to get qualified employees. So I think the market is just a struggle for them, and I don't know what we would look into more. It seems like an issue of hiring appropriately and retaining recruits, but I'm not clear on what we could really look at to get to the bottom of that.
This is Commissioner Rodriguez. I think if we could get information from the police department itself regarding the percentages, retention factor percentage, how many, just some data that they could provide over a period of time. And I've requested this before, where even a descriptive graph of the past year's number trained, those who have retained, what's the average year of retention. Those are important statistics, and it gives us a better idea. If you could plot that over a period of years, graph, that would be excellent. But I'm just wondering whether the police department can do that, if it has manpower, or if they could address that. We have to do something now. There is a lot of people aren't satisfied with many things. I still find it unbelievable that you don't have to be from the living in the city of Tucson. They rather flippantly said, well, neither do the fire department. Well, what good is that? We're incurring the costs. And I seriously think this is the more we look into it, there might be some other factors related to this. So as far as how this factors in financially, I think that's been said. Just the concern of many citizens in different districts, I think, is important. I think also just the preparedness. I'd like to hear of how they would respond to any confrontation in a school. There's so many things that have come up recently regarding school safety of schools and what is going on with our preparedness with that and with children attending and teachers. So, granted, there's not enough, but this is something that maybe we could ask for more funding, see what the possibilities are, impress upon the city and council that something we have concerns. That's where I believe I would like to see our efforts.
And those are a lot of really good thoughts too. It almost sounds like we, instead of having yet an audit, or saying, you know, here's what we want to audit, maybe we just need additional information to answer some of the questions. And I think that, you know, we started with hiring, but maybe it's at a higher level than that. I know that the city just finished this year, I believe, earlier this year, a salary review, because they want to think, or they thought, I guess, that one of the biggest issues that the police and fire have is that the pay wasn't good enough. So they did a salary review, and that was public information. And they've determined now how to raise salaries and how much and for who. But was that really the magic bullet? And so I don't know if anybody's done any analysis on that yet, because I don't know if it's been long enough. But sometimes people want to think that there's one reason. Oh, yeah, if we just fix this, then it would fix our whole problem. But you don't hear, I mean, we go to a meeting every month with the police in my neighborhood, but we don't meet with the chief. You know, we're not doing the higher ups. We're meeting at a little bit lower level, Midtown Division, lieutenants and things like that. But they are struggling. I mean, they are just so, you know, they're hardly able to hold on to people. A lot more people are retiring because they're all at retirement age or a retirement number of years. And the thing I've noticed over the years with working with the police department as a neighborhood and a group of neighborhoods, the management changes all the time. So we've had multiple police chiefs over the last few years. The city and or the council, mayor and council, select them for various reasons. And we are now, as of, I believe, January or earlier this year, have yet another police chief promoted from within, which could be a good thing. One left to go, you know, to Border Patrol. And every time the management changes, so does the management style. And I've noticed, you know, there was a whole bunch of changes. The new chief said he was going to be focusing on traffic enforcement. I personally haven't seen anything in our area with traffic enforcement. There's still no money committed to it, or there's no personnel. I've never heard any of them say anything about, for instance, what it might be termed shared police resources, or maybe renting or subcontracting to other municipalities that have more resources than we do to get resources for short time periods. They don't talk about innovative ideas in those types of things. I mean, they're working as hard as they can trying to come up with different things. But they just recently, in the last month, had another reorganization. And what happens is everybody you've been working with for the last 6 months now gets moved to another position. And then it's like somebody hit the reset button. We're all starting over again. So everybody's subject to this management changes. And then, okay, just forget all about the way that was done. We're going to try this now. And so it would be kind of interesting to know, what are they gauging success on? And what are their goals and objectives? And is there anything we can learn maybe by looking at that information to determine how they're making these decisions as far as, you know, what crimes they're going to respond to, how they're going to rank different crimes, how they're going to look for people to hire. They can say they're doing one strategy. Like one of the biggest problems they told us they have is by the time anybody is in their 20s, they already have a felony conviction. And so they can't be on the police force. And so they were a year or so ago looking, they were going down into the high schools to look for kids that were graduating and then try and encourage them to be in the police department in some manner. And then maybe later they would be candidates for training school. But, you know, they seem to be trying a lot of things, but are they really measuring success and then going back when they're not having success and modifying it? It would be, that could be interesting to know, you know, what data are they looking at? And, but like I said, the players change all the time. So it's hard to know if that's even there.
Vice Chair Paula, members of the commission, if the committee does want to look at any of these particulars, have a presentation on retention numbers or preparedness training, there does need to be an exact motion, a second, and a vote so that we can get that coordinated. Just that needs to be a formal action to request that information be presented to the IAPC.
Okay, thank you for the clarification. Do any of the commissioners have a motion?
This is Commissioner Rodriguez. I have a motion for further information, I believe, to be gathered regarding the issues that we brought up. I'm not sure how else to word it. Someone would like to assist, but the concerns that we've expressed, I think we need more information internally of what's going on. If they need help in a review, getting data, whatever, if they are understaffed, if we could look into assisting them somehow or what resources there are. But I have a motion that we follow through in getting further information from this particular issue.
And I agree with that, but I still think maybe we need to zero in more on what information, because the department is so big. I think it would be important to hear about how they're gauging success. What metrics are they looking at to gauge success of the department? and what actions do they, and what actions are they taking in order to reach the goals? So do they have any performance metrics identified? Are they meeting the goals? And if not, what actions do they have identified in order to try and meet these goals?
This is Commissioner Rodriguez again. I agree with it being what you said, Commissioner. I support the motion to get that kind of information.
Is there any thoughts from the other two commissioners as to supporting further, what you would like to see in if we got further information?
I would think in an update, since we last heard from the department in April, to find out if they've had any success in reducing the deficit in numbers of officers. In March, it was 128 officers that had grown to 134 in April. It'd be interesting to know if what they're doing has had any impact on reducing their shortfall of officers in the four-month timeframe since we heard from them. At that same time, we might then get that information that you've just mentioned, Vice Chair Pollack, about their performance metrics, how they're measuring success, and if they're not meeting their performance goals, what they might be doing in terms of changing practice to help us understand what they're doing to solve the problem.
Okay, so Leah, do we have, how specific do we need to be on a request for more information?
Yes, Vice Chair Pollack, members of the commission. I think that getting an update, like Commissioner Andrews said, about if there's been any change since the last update, maybe looking at retention numbers and how they measure success. I think that sounds specific enough of a request that we could ask for a presentation. Those are all kind of similar in nature. How has the hiring been going since the last time? What kind of metrics do they use to measure success? What are some retention numbers? And it did sound like, I don't know if somebody wants to rephrase a motion, or is it, but it did sound like there was enough interest in that, if I'm understanding everybody correctly.
Okay. So I'd like to make a motion that we contact the police department for additional information on their hiring, whether they've been able to add officers, and if their process for doing that is working. And so let's see, make a motion trying to see if their current process for adding officers to the department is working, basically. And then determining whether, if it is, then are they able, I just don't know how to phrase that. Sorry. So one part of it is determining if their process for attracting and hiring new officers is working. So we definitely want to see that. And then the other part is, of course, you need officers to support your agenda of public safety, improve public safety. So maybe what we're looking at is looking at the information that they look at to determine whether they're succeeding in improving public safety. And I think through that, well, anyhow, that would be the motion.
So it sounds like we have a motion to request more information from the police department just to get an update on hiring process, retention, and any success metrics. Am I understanding that motion correctly?
I think so. And the metrics that I was also referring to was whether they can – whether they're tracking, well, getting information on how they track the success, basically, of the police department. And so part of that is, do they have performance metrics? Do they have goals and actions that they're taking in order to meet the goals? And that would be for the overall public safety. So I don't know how they're gauging public safety. Is it the number of crimes? And the reduction in crime? Is it the number of break-ins and the reduction? Is it the number of, you know, violent versus nonviolent? They have a lot of numbers they track. But like I said, there's a new chief, so that person has a new management methodology. And that alone would be good to know, because then we can maybe get more information on, do they have a goal to try and enforce all the laws that need to be enforced? Or are they just never going to be doing that? So maybe if we can see what their goals are, that might be part of it. But then we could also ask questions during that type of an interview about those particular things. What about laws you're not enforcing? Sound ordinance, you know, all different kinds of little things here and there. And maybe we could get the information on when they expect this to improve, where there are more enforcement.
So Vice Chair Pollack, just to restate, and I'm going to take your motion, to restate that, a motion to request additional information from the police department for an update on hiring and some metrics on what they consider public safety. And is there a second on that motion?
This is Commissioner Andrews, and I will second that motion.
And in that case, we should have a vote on the motion then.
Yeah, maybe you'll do a roll call vote on that one.
So, Commissioner Rodriguez, how do you vote?
Yes, on the motion.
Commissioner Hunter?
Yes.
Commissioner Andrews?
Aye.
And Commissioner Pollack?
Yes.
That motion was approved. So I will work on arranging a presentation from the police department to come and speak to the commission again to answer those questions.
Okay. Thanks very much for facilitating that with us. Okay. We're going to move on to
Commissioner Pollack. I just have a this is Commissioner Rodriguez. I was wondering if I know that response time, and there's all these issues. And just something for us to think about is, I do know that there is unreported, being that there's a lack of not enough police officers, that some neighborhoods go without reporting certain incidents. That's a concern. I'm not sure how that would be addressed. But the other thing that I still feel strongly for to be included with maybe Chad Kazmar's, our chief, his name's Chad Kazmar, is when they recruit, are they making an attempt to recruit residents of the city?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very important issue that I still feel very strongly about. Are they making attempts to recruit, if they're going into the high schools, are those high schools in Tucson? Are Pima College? I'd like it to be more specific. And so those are some suggestions I have to think about regarding all this in our discussions with the police department.
Yeah, that sounds great. And so, Leah, it looks like we're going to need somebody from the police department who can talk numbers and things about recruiting and their successes and what they're doing. And then we're going to need somebody from the management side, from the chief's side, who can talk about the department as a whole and the vision and where they're going.
Okay, I think I will track that down for you. And that does take up the time we had for this discussion. So
perfect.
We want to move on to item number six.
Okay, item number six, internal audit fourth quarter update. I think Aaron and Williams and you, Leah, are going to provide an update, and or you.
So I will
on activities of the department of the fourth quarter of fiscal year.
Yes. Vice Chair Pollan, members of the commission, I will provide that update. And if you like, I can share my screen. I did send this document to all the commissioners earlier today, but basically we take the annual audit plan and we just kind of list out the areas that we've been working on in the last quarter to provide you the update. So under consulting services, the activities in the fourth quarter have been for business services and IT departments ongoing since August of 2020. Internal audit staff has been providing assistance to the team evaluating and designing the city's new ERP system. That is Workday that the commissioners have been hearing about. I know business services mentions it quite a lot in the updates to the commission in their annual updates or their monthly updates. Also, it wasn't necessarily in the fourth quarter, but just to let the commissioners know, I have signed up to be a member of, like, the trainers. So I'm undergoing the training on that system and will be training city staff when that goes live or for go live in October 1. So also under consulting services for business services and IT departments ongoing since June of 22, internal audit staff has been providing assistance to a team identifying, organizing, and documenting all the city's databases and data sets. And that's just trying to look around and seeing what data we have and where it lives and how we can maybe consolidate that data to make it useful to city staff. Also under consulting services for the information technology department, ongoing since June of 22, internal audit staff is assisting a team who is researching and identifying software licenses to ensure that any software the city is using, we have proper licensing for, and if we're not using it, that we can exit that license and we're not paying for licenses of items we're not using. also under consulting services for Parks and Recreation, ongoing since June of 22. Internal audit staff is reviewing the structure, design, and operation of youth programs, the KIDCO programs, various after-school and summer programs, and things of that nature. So under the assistance, the support we give to this commission, the fourth quarter update, that we have facilitated three regular IACP meetings and two code enforcement subcommittee meetings in the last 3 months. And then under the nature of assurance services, with city contracts, internal audit has been assisting Department of Transportation and Mobility since May of this year, looking at a contract for street furniture advertising. And we're reviewing the contract compliance because the contract is nearing the end of its term, and negotiating out with the company on that. Under for Parks and Recreation, ongoing since March of 22, we have been reviewing the contract for flooring services at one of the recreation centers, Clements Center. They installed a new floor in the weight room, and we have just been following up on the services performed and on the floor maintenance of that. And then finally, under assurance services, ongoing since April 22, internal audit has been conducting a review of inventory citywide, looking at how inventory is procured, stored, and issued out to service members who have need. So those are the fourth quarter updates, and if there are any questions, I will be happy to answer them.
I did have one question. The evaluations, you talk about a team, and I was wondering, in looking at IT, if that's made up of outside consultants, or is that all internal staff working on that process?
Erin, I think you're working with that team. Is that primarily internal city staff?
Commissioner Andrews, members of the commission, the team looking at the databases and data sets across the city is made up of internal City of Tucson staff from various organization levels and various departments. It's a information gathering at this point in time, so no external consultants are involved currently. The IT looking at the software licenses is also internal. As of now, between internal audit and IT, identifying the licenses that exist and making sure that they are proper and up to date.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Commissioner Rodriguez. I was wondering, Erin, do you have enough staff in the coordination of this review?
Commissioner Rodriguez, members of the commission, for both projects currently are staffed fine. The software licenses is not a gigantic lift. Currently, it's one IT staff member, myself, and then some support from IT upper management. For the citywide identification of data sets, it is a large team. So there are a lot of staff members. Each group of the staff members are taking different slices of this bigger project. So that one has a gigantic team behind it.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And this is Commissioner Pollack. I have a question about street furniture. Can you tell me what that topic is about?
So, Commissioner, Aaron, but Commissioner Pollack, street furniture, any of the bus stops that you see that have a little, there's the bench there, there's occasionally a shelter over the bench, there might be some things, that is what we are considering street furniture on this contract.
And so what, I can't quite read your page there. Okay, there you go. What is the, okay, review of contract compliance and end of contract terms. And so you're, the auditors are assisting with the review of that?
That is correct. There was some, the company who has been running our street advertising are supposed to be maintaining the shelters as well. And so we were just reviewing their compliance on maintaining those shelters. And that was the review of the contract compliance.
Now, I have a question on this. This is a very, I know that residents aren't happy with this, and they haven't been happy with it for years. And I've been hearing from SunTran when I contact them about bus stops that need cleaning, that they are considering changing, you know, who does this. You know, like the city might take it over, or maybe they'll find another contractor. What do you happen to know what kind of data they look at to determine contract compliance? Like, does it include at all resident or neighborhood input? Or do they have a list of, do they keep a log or any kind of a database, log, list, whatever, of all the people who call in to request maintenance?
Commissioner Pollack, members of the commission, for this item, it's the review of the contract compliance. So this particular contract, the contract is titled Street Furniture Advertising, and the number you see there is the contract number. It's available for public view on procurement's website. And our review of the contract compliance is we look at the contract's terms and conditions, and whatever those terms and conditions are is what we audit to. For this particular one, there are a variety of different contract terms that need to be met. Things from filing monthly statements, annual audited financials being provided to the city, specific services that need to be done with this particular contract. We look at all those line items and then perform audit procedures to see if the contractor is in compliance.
But Aaron, how would you even do that? I can see 80% of it, but whether they're, so in that contract, I haven't read it, but I've heard from SunTran that it says they're supposed to clean a 15-foot space or something. There's some amount of feet from the pad. And I can tell you right off the bat, they don't do that in my neighborhood, and they never have. And so how are you guys, or maybe not you, you know, in particular, but how is this group that is evaluating contract compliance, evaluating that, the quality requirements, whether they met the quality? Yeah, they could send the invoice on time. Yes, they could, you know, they could give reports and everything on what they said they've done. But, when, you know, I'm really concerned that a lot of these things go on without the public's feedback on how we think the services were delivered.
Commissioner Pollack, members of the commission. So, again, this contract has very – well, most of the contracts have very specific terms and conditions inside of the contract. To your point on this particular contract, there are conditions and services that have to be provided to a certain level, one of which is cleaning of the bus stops and the surrounding areas. I believe it's amended to a 6-foot radius. The way that we determine compliance with that, just like any other physical service, is monitoring, sampling of the population, monitoring over an audit period, the conditions that are supposed to be maintained, and then reporting on the findings of those. So it's not anecdotal evidence. It's specific firsthand review of whatever the service is. In this particular one, that means take a sample of the population, you monitor, and you review it, take pictures of it, and then you report on it. There have been, with this particular one, not in this update, but in our previous quarter updates, there are completed reviews of that contract compliance. The one you see on your screen now under the fourth quarter update is a different review than the previous ones that have been completed. We could provide to the commission a copy of those previous reviews, and it should give you some context of what was reviewed and how in the scope and objectives and the methods in those reports.
Okay. And you said that this information going to be available to the public, so you don't have to just provide it to us?
Any government information is available through information requests. Internal audit reports are not posted on a public-facing website, Commissioner Pollack, members of the commission.
Yeah. I mean, for me, this is a hot button, and because I've got something like 15 bus stops in my 1 square mile, and it's just been a hot button over the last few years. And I don't have confidence. I hope that this review really brings to the surface any issues and things that might be out there. But I would be interested in getting that information. I don't know if anybody else is. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but for anybody who doesn't know how the bus maintenance model works, and I'm not an expert on it, but what I've been told by SunTran is the company is an advertising company, and we pay them, the city pays them, or a lot of it, by letting them put advertisement up, and they sell advertisement to different companies. They get to post it at the bus stops, and in return, part of the contract says that they're going to keep the bus stop and 6 feet around it clean. That includes taking the trash out, cleaning the pads, and picking up the garbage. And so it's an unusual kind of a contract. But I don't know if I can get information on it, if you want to send it to all the commissioners, but I'd be interested in getting that if I could.
Commissioner Pollack, members of the commission, I will provide our two most recent reviews of this contract, along with the link to the exact landing page, public facing for the contract itself. So you can look through the terms and conditions. And then if you have any future questions, you can always bring that up later.
Okay, thank you, Aaron. Is there any other additional comments on this fourth quarter report? I guess that's a no. Do you need anything else from us, Leah, on that?
No. We can move on to the next item.
Okay. And this is another. Okay. I've got to figure out how to get to it. Let's see here.
I have that up. You'd like me to read the item?
Sorry. Let's see. The next item would be agenda number 7, discussion on issues the commission would like to review.
Is an item that Chairperson Clark requested, I believe, of just some time for the commission to discuss amongst themselves if there are any items they would like to review if there are any identified items, there would need to be a motion and a vote on that to move forward.
I think we've identified at least more information for the police department. And then now maybe for the bus stop contract. Anybody, now we, I'm not quite sure, I don't quite remember everything in this. This didn't include, I don't quite remember what this one was from last time. Because we had talked about things like a big all-around discussion of what do we want the IAPC commission to be reviewing. And I don't know if that's this agenda item or exactly.
I believe, Vice Chair Pollack, I believe that's what Chairperson Clark was wanting. Unfortunately, Chairperson Clark is not with us today. If we would like to potentially move this agenda item onto a future agenda, or if we just want to move forward into future agenda items.
I think it would be good to move this to the next meeting at least. The other thing we had talked about was getting an update from the mayor's office as to their appointee for the IAPC and also Ward 2. I think it's Ward 2.
Yes. So, Vice Chair Paula, members of the commission, I did receive an update from Ward 2. They had reached out to request additional information on what the requirements are for a person who gets appointed, what length of service is, things of that nature. I did let him know, and he said that was very helpful in the guiding for their search. I reached out to Genesis at the mayor's office, and I did not receive an update back from her. But I will try to reach out again. Hopefully we have more of an update in the September meeting.
And
also, just as I'm updating, I know this has been an issue the commissioners have inquired about. I did have a conversation with clerk's office. My understanding is city attorney is finalizing some of the guidelines for bringing back boards and commissions in person. So hopefully those guidelines are coming down soon and we will be able to start meeting in person again soon.
Okay. So we have to wait and see what those guidelines say.
Correct.
Okay, perfect. I would like to bring up right now that I think we need to have a blended meeting or whatever, because sometimes everybody's going to be able to make it in person, but other times somebody may have to be remote. So I hope it allows... It probably won't. Well, I don't know. I hope it allows for some type of a blended meeting if necessary.
I do believe, sorry, Commissioner Pollack, I do believe hybrid, some people being in person and some people joining virtual, is one of the options they are looking at. So I believe that will be a possibility.
Okay, thanks for the update there. And I think Commissioner Clark... not to put words in his mouth, but I think that we were trying to staff the commission with all the openings and then maybe discuss amongst all of us what is the focus of the commission and that people would like to see. But that would be with, you know, everybody, hopefully. But if we could just push off that one number 7 here to next month, that would be helpful.
I will include that on next month's agenda, and hopefully Commissioner Clark is able to join us, and even more hopefully we have gotten an appointment from Ward 2, potentially also the mayor's office.
Okay. Okay, so now we're going to move on to agenda item number 8, which is future agenda items. So I'd like to know if anybody has any. Well, Leah, is there already a list of future agenda items?
There was. Let me find what I have. Give me just 1 minute, please. So at some point last fiscal year, the future agenda items, possible future agenda items were identified as the equity officer and the equity office updates, discussing changes to the IAPC bylaws, an overview of the city's workday system, and audit costs and processes across city functions. So those are the list that I have of items that were identified as potential future items. Just from the conversation today, I know we have the continued discussion with the police department. And some more discussion on how the commission would like to move forward in its role. So if there are any of those items that would like to be put on, or if there's any other future agenda items that the commission would like to consider.
So any comments from any commissioners, please feel free.
Well, this is Commissioner Andrews. I don't have anything new, but it seemed that at our last meeting, someone had, and if you mentioned this, I apologize, that they wanted more information about the American Rescue Plan Act, since the city is actively submitting for participation or funding. Is that something you show on?
Yes, thank you so much for reminding me. I actually had that listed for September. The American Rescue Plan was finalized, I believe, at the very end of July, and just because of business services having the after they're working on, they did ask to wait to come present in September. So thank you for reminding me. Also in September, we will have a presentation on the American Rescue Plan.
Thank you.
Any other comments on future agenda items this time? Okay, then I guess we'll move on to item number 9 is not on there. But agenda item number 10 is adjournment. So unless anybody has any objections or any last comments, I'd like to go ahead and adjourn the meeting. And the next scheduled meeting is September 7th at 3 p.m.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to everybody who participated and for all the answers from City. And have a good afternoon.
Yes, you all have a wonderful rest of your day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thanks to staff, and bye.
Thank you for all your work.